June 7, 2020. Wellsville Full Gospel. Interim Pastor, Tom Brazell. Sermon title, The Holy Spirit's Role in Our Affairs.
I remind you about this. We'll be praying at the end of our service, but I'd like to pray now. Remember, we're still looking for that five, the five that we've identified and we're praying for, and we're looking for the opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with them. And a bird behind me is really carrying on back here. He didn't want to stop worshiping. He's going to town back there. But we also have a very serious situation in our country right now. I mean, it's no joke, folks. I hope you realize that this is no joke what's happening. And I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about what's going on in the cities, a movement to defund police departments, and all this kind of stuff is like it's potentially very, very serious. And God forbid that we would just sit back with a que sera, sera sort of attitude. Our job is to go to God on behalf of man and go to man on behalf of God. That's what we are as priests of God. And so it's time for us to go to God on behalf of man and ask that he would pour out a spirit of peace upon our country. There are things that need to change. There's things that need to happen. I'm good with that, but I'm not good with some of the things that are happening. So can we just pray about that right now? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We believe with all of our hearts that you have called this country to do great things for you. And so, Lord, there's no doubt in our mind or question why we would be resisted. But, Lord, we lift up our country to you right now. Lord, we pray that instead of a spirit of violence and anarchy, Lord, that you would pour out upon us a spirit of peace. Lord, your word says that when the enemy shall come in as a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Lord, we are praying this morning that you would raise up a standard against the anarchy that is happening in the streets of America today. And Lord, that you would rise up. Lord, we pray that you would empower the churches, especially those churches which are in the city, which are in the middle of it. Lord, that they would take a stand. Lord, that they would stand up on your behalf. And Lord, that they would speak words of peace during this time. And Lord, that we would see you realized in the hearts of many as the answer to the needs that we have in this country. And we give you thanks for it. Lord, we pray you'd bless the word this morning. Lord, may Holy Spirit, may you just communicate to our hearts those things, Lord, which we need to hear. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The clock starts now. Okay. I asked Judy to kind of keep an eye on me today. Because truth of the matter is, I probably have more than I could possibly cover. And if somebody doesn't remind me, I'm liable to try to cover it, in which case it could get a lot later than we really want it to be. So whatever I don't finish up this week, we are going to talk about. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit for a while because there's a lot to talk about. A friend of mine used to say, when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, he shows up to find out what we're talking about. So I'm not sure how biblical it is, but I like it anyhow. And so we're just going to be talking about the Holy Spirit for a little while. And right now we're kind of laying a foundation. I think it's important. The Holy Spirit is as we looked last week, is the third person of the Trinity. It's God. And if anything should bring us together as believers, it ought to be the Holy Spirit. And yet somehow, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, in the minds of people, it can polarize people. People have their ideas and they're juxtaposed to each other. And somehow, what God wants to bring to us, to bring us peace and unity, somehow gets twisted around and it turns out to be something we fight about. So I don't think we ought to be fighting about the Holy Spirit. I think we ought to find out what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit and say, well, that must be the truth. It's in the Bible. And pursue it in that way. I find myself, especially this morning, coming up here, I'm finding myself really excited, in not in a physical way, but in my spirit, really excited because I honestly believe that we are on the leading edge of something here. And I can't quite tell you what it is. It's just the spiritual energy that I seem to be picking up in my own spirit that God is about to move. I think I told you, in fact, I'm sure I did, but I'll do it again anyhow, that when we had a powerful move of God in the church I was pastoring in Maryland, back in 1994, our church was just we loved God. We were doing just what we're doing this morning, worshiping and all that. But one Sunday, the Holy Spirit showed up, and it turned our church on its head. It was like something that no man made up. It was just the power of God there, and we saw many, many people come to the Lord. We saw many, many people healed in their emotions, in their bodies, and so on. And it just went on and on. Our services, we couldn't get people out of the church. We would have people in the morning service on Sunday that were still, I would leave and go home, and they would come back. I'd come back for the 6 o'clock Sunday evening service. They were still there. You couldn't get them out of the church. Now, you can't get people to do that, but the Holy Spirit moved on us. And I have that same sense of spiritual energy, something that God is wanting to do. And so what I would like to do is I'd like to position us as a church to be ready to receive what it is that he wants to send our way. Some people love revival. Some people hate revival. You know, one thing about revival is he's in control and you're not. And, of course, that can be a little unnerving, and we just have to hold close to God at those times. But anyhow, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit for a while, still laying kind of a foundation. Then we're going to move into the practical aspects, not today, but in the weeks to come, the practical aspects of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. How do we energize them? How do we use them? And we're going to talk about all that. I got to be careful because I'm wanting to go there already. But what I want to do is I just want to take this methodically, and everybody, we can get on the same page and just move forward in that. So last week we talked about the who, what, where, when, and why of the Holy Spirit. Who is he? He is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. One of the great things about our Facebook services, if you missed this and you want to know what we talked about last week, just go and look on Facebook and you'll find it right there. What is he? He is the living God. He is not an inanimate force. All that goes along with being alive, being real, being living, as opposed to being inanimate, that he has a will. He has a purpose. He can be grieved. He loves. All of those things are things that are in the Holy Spirit. He's not just a powerful force. He's not like this tropical storm coming in, going to hit the Gulf Coast sometime today, I guess. That's a force, but there's no personality to that. Well, the Holy Spirit is not just a force. He's forceful, but he's not just a force. And then where is he? He's in us. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. When? Now. Now is the time. Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church, and the Holy Spirit came and he never left. And why did he do it? He did it to empower you and me to do works of service in the kingdom of God. So it all comes down to us being filled with the Spirit of God so that we are able to do the works that he has called us to do. And I absolutely, totally believe that he has called us to do more than I was going to say warm a pew, but we're not. We're warming a lawn chair. He's called us to do a lot more than be spectators in all of this. He doesn't want us as a church wringing our hands saying somebody should do something, because we are the somebody that needs to do something. But trying to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit is. It usually doesn't work very well. I remember one time, and I'm going to get to my message soon, I think. I remember one time I was watching the 700 Club. This is years ago. And they were interviewing this Chinese pastor who had undergone all kinds of tribulation, and they put him in prison, and he did all kinds of things. But his testimony of the church in China was that God was doing amazing, amazing things. And he was testifying of one quick testimony. He said that God would speak to them and say, go to this place, the people are waiting. And they would go to a certain place, and they would find thousands of people gathered there, not even knowing why they were there. And they would preach the gospel, and people would be getting saved. And then the Holy Spirit would say, you need to get out of here, the police are coming. And they would leave, and then the police would come after they were gone. And all kinds of testimonies like that. And then the interviewer said to this Chinese pastor, I couldn't believe my ears, he said to him, he says, so what impresses you most about the American church? I'm thinking, He didn't really just ask that question. And this Chinese pastor was not trying to be a smart aleck. He just said very humbly, I'm amazed at how much you can get done without the Holy Spirit. So we can get things done. We can build buildings, and we can fill them with sound systems, and we can have laser beams and smoke machines. That's not getting the job done for him. We need the power of God. And that's why we're taking time to look into who he is, what is the will is for us, and so on. How does he fit into our lives? Because as we understand that and we're in the same page together, we can move forward together and believe God. Okay, so anyhow, I want to look today at the Holy Spirit's role in our affairs as human beings here on earth. We see in Genesis 1:2 that it was the Spirit of God that was, by the way, you have all these scripture verses should be in the notes that you have, so that'll help you. You don't have to keep up with me on that. That it was the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the waters during creation. And so the Spirit was there in creation. And in Psalm 33:6, we see these words. The psalmist said, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now that word breath in Psalm 33:6 is exactly the same word as was translated Spirit of God in Genesis 1:2. And so it's the Holy Spirit that is attributed to creation. And so he was there from the beginning. It says in relation to humanity, what happens to all of us? And Jesus said in John 16:8 and following, he said, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And so we really can't get into this whole scripture and what all that means. It would be fun to do that, but we can't this morning. But basically what he's saying is the Holy Spirit is here right now, and he is convicting the world. He is bringing the world to an awareness of who God is. They may reject it. They may not want to receive it. They may not want to hear it. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit isn't here. And by the way, while I'm saying this, you need to take confidence in the ones that you are praying for, that they would know the Lord, that although you want them to know the Lord and you're praying that, that he is bringing to bear in their lives things that you are totally unaware of. You don't know what he is doing. You don't know what he is saying. You don't know the thoughts. And so you just need to do what you're called to do, which is pray for them. But it says when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world of sin and unrighteousness and of judgment. And so that's what he's doing in the world today with people in general. In relation to us as believers, we see that when we became Christians, the Holy Spirit took us, and as it says in 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, that by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So the Holy Spirit took us. He took us. We were orphans. He took us as we didn't belong anywhere or any. He took us and he put us into the body of Christ. And I think I actually taught on this, I don't know, some months ago, about the connection of the body of Christ and how we are connected with one another. We're not just random people that come together. My oldest son, he grew up in the inner city of Buffalo. We were starting a church there, and so we were in the inner city, and the houses were so close that we had a driveway, but if you got stuck in the driveway during the winter, you would not be able, you'd be there till spring because there wasn't enough room to open the doors. That's how close the houses were. And so he's a city boy, and he knows nothing about the country. And we were going out from Buffalo to Warsaw, New York, to visit some people out there that we knew. And as we're driving up 20A, he looked over in a field, and he saw these cows. And he said, look, Dad, a crowd of cows. You know, in his mind, it was a crowd, you know. I said, no, that's not a crowd. That's a herd. And I kind of explained to him the difference between a crowd and a herd, that the herd has purpose, common purpose, and comes together and all that. And there's something in us that we need to realize. We're not just a crowd of people. We're not a herd either. But we're not a crowd. We are a body. And we were placed in the body. We were placed in the church by the Holy Spirit. And really, I believe that those of us who call this their church home, He has brought us here, and He's knit us together. And so, So by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, that whole chapter he's talking to him, but he says in John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, he talks to him about being born again, and he says, most assuredly I say to you. Now Jesus is saying most assuredly. In other words, he's saying, you got to listen up. This I am being emphatic about this. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Not he doesn't say he'll have a difficult time or it'll be a little bit harder than the other people. He says you can't. That we need this work of the Holy Spirit in us, each and every one of us. The thing is, and this is something that we will have to highlight again and again, is that we're praying for God to move in our church, and we want him to do that, but we also want him to move in each and every one of us as individuals. We don't want to be spectators in this church of what God is doing in everybody's life while we ourselves are not enjoying that. Okay, so it's this whole thing about becoming a Christian, it's not just a new religion. When Judy and I got saved, and I would think that would be 45 or 46 years ago, when we got saved, we didn't sign up for a religion. We signed up for something very special in God. And when we gave our lives to the Lord, we believed that he was really there. And we actually tried to go to a church that really wasn't honoring Christ. We tried, and we picked that one, but we went once, and we said, we can't come here. We didn't want to just have religion. We wanted to experience the new life. I can't remember who it was. I've been trying to. It might have been John Wimber. I can't remember who it was. But somebody was telling a story. I'm going to say it wasn't John Wimber, but somebody, one of these famous people, was telling a story. He came out of the Jesus movement or the hippie movement and all that thing, came into the Jesus people, came to know Christ. But he got saved, and he comes to church, and he comes to this church, and he's sitting there, and, you know, there's some music, and there's some talking, and then there's dismissing. And so he left, and he came back the next week, and it was the same kind of service. And the third week he comes in the same kind of service. And so he went to the pastor, and he said, when do I get to do the stuff? And he said, stuff? What stuff? He said, you know, the raising the dead and the healing and all, you know, the stuff. And the guy said, oh, we don't do that here. And he said, I gave up drugs for this. You know, it's like, you know, people are not looking to give up something just so they can come and sit in a church. That's not why people are going to, and if they're not going to stay. They come because there's new life, because there's something in them that's real. And that's what we're after. Something real in the lives of people that they can come and they can learn and they can do the stuff, you know, be part of what God is doing in the kingdom of God. Okay, where am I? Okay, so we're baptized into one body and we're born of the water and the Spirit. He indwells us. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, you know, we always have the Holy Spirit with us, always. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Think about that for a minute. Think about that. Everywhere you go, everything you are involved in, it all, the Spirit of God is in you. How many of you believe that? I mean, really believe it. Think about it now. Just really think about it. The God Almighty has chosen to live within us. It's kind of mind-blowing, actually, when you really begin to think about it. Sometimes we take these truths and we gloss over. We heard them so many times that maybe we don't appreciate the significance. He came, and he's there. If he came into you once, he's there to this very day. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says the same thing. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Romans 8:9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. He dwells within us. And you know, the Holy Spirit also sealed us. He's called the Holy Spirit of promise for a reason, because the seal, Ephesians 1:13 and 14 talks about this. It says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. When the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, it was like the a down payment. It's like we don't have it all. There's more to come, and you know, as we pass on into glory and so on, some on this earth, some on the other side of eternity, but there's more coming. But right now, he said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and it is a down payment. It is a guarantee. You know, if I put a down payment on something, I go over to the car dealer and I say, I want that car, and here's my down payment. I don't expect them to sell that car. I expect that car is now mine. There's some more transaction needs to take place, but it's mine, and I'm coming for it. And you know what? We're his, and he's coming for us. There'll be more fullness in the days to come, but right now we have the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Praise the Lord. We are assured of our salvation. Romans 8:16 talks about how the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How I appreciate this act of the Holy Spirit. I just remember so much of my early days when I came out of I didn't know where I belonged. I didn't know who I belonged to or any of that. And I came to know the Lord, and something in me, you know, somebody said it like this, you know when you're knower, you know, there's just something in there that you know you're right with God, you know, and it's not something that's happening up here, but there's just this Spirit himself is bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It is a great thing to realize that we belong to him. Other people might not appreciate that. They might not even recognize it. But in our hearts, thank you, Lord. That was God saying amen right there. We are children of God. He strengthens us. We receive strength from him. Ephesians 3:16 talks about how the Holy Spirit would grant you according to riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That God gives us strength when we need. We can call out to him at any time, in any circumstance, and say, Lord, right now, release the Holy Spirit in me afresh to strengthen me. This is tough. I'm struggling right now. Strengthen me. He abides with us forever. He doesn't come and go. You know, it's not like, well, you know, knocking on the door and he's not home. No, it says in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Again, he's not here today and gone tomorrow and then back the next day. You can be sure he comes and he is here. He controls us. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is excess or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we all know, maybe not from firsthand knowledge, although I think some of you might, but we all know that if you drink too much, you know what's controlling you. All right, it's usually not good. And if it is good, it's only an accident. Okay, it's not that meant to be good. But it says here that we're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to so fill us and control us that we're under the influence. It's not like a domination, like you're in chains kind of control, but we're just under the influence of the Holy Spirit in such a way that things that we might want to do, we just realize, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to because the Holy Spirit's in us. And I'm just hitting these things so quickly, but I just want you to realize that the Holy Spirit is a participant in our everyday life. I actually think when our feet hit the floor in the morning, as we're getting out of bed, we need to be saying, Lord, today is your day, and I invite you to speak to me. I invite you to talk to me. Please keep me from doing anything stupid, making dumb mistakes. I think those kinds of prayers are good prayers. And just invite the Lord into your life from the time that your feet hit the ground and see what happens. I remember one time I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. So I'm not going to plan anything this week. I am just going to do what, I'm just going to be spontaneous and do whatever you want me to do. And so that was a very interesting week. I found myself visiting people. I can't say anything earth-shaking happened that week, but it was very interesting. I was able to just say, okay, now what? And somebody would come into my, I'll get in my car, and I went over and visited them, or you know, that kind of stuff just went on for about a week. And I believe that it was I believe the Lord was leading me. I mean, I had some great encounters. I don't remember all the details of that week, to be honest, but I do know at the end of the week I was very, very pleased with that. He wants to control you. He wants to influence you. He liberates us. He sets us free. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I am so glad that I am free from the law of sin and death. I'm so glad I don't have to try to keep the Ten Commandments and keep them perfectly and do all the things that I need to do. And if I do them all perfectly, then maybe I'll get where God wants me to be. And He set me free from that. He just said, Tom, you just relax. I got this. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, He's got you covered. And you will be with me forever. He gives direction. We already talked about that. So we'll skip a few of those. And so we move to, this is where I want to go. And how are we doing on time there, Judy? How are we doing? 12 minutes. You couldn't say 15 or 12, about 12. You had to say 12. I always listen to what Judy says, as you will find out in 12 minutes. Okay. How does the Holy Spirit equip us? Okay. This is important stuff here. Because if all of this is up here, we need it up here. We need this knowledge. But if it's all just up here and it doesn't really impact the reality of our lives, then it really doesn't benefit us much. But Jesus said, to his disciples in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So by giving the Holy Spirit, he's giving power to the church. He's giving power to the individuals. We're going to talk about this. We're going to probably spend a whole Sunday just talking about how God releases, how to make yourself available to the Lord. I'm going to explain to you the two-switch theory, but I can't do that this morning. That'll come another day. I remember there was a guy, though, a missionary in Africa, and he would go and he would minister in these refugee camps. Now, refugee camps, if you've never been in a refugee camp, they're horrible places. They're dangerous. There's thugs in there and who are preying on weak people, and there's the sanitation in there is horrific. The smell, the food, if you got any, it's not good. It's just they're just horrible places. And he would go in there and he would minister for 2 or 3 weeks at a time into these refugee camps. And when he would come back from that, he would be almost every time he would be down, like sick for a month or even 2 months after he came back, just trying to get his strength back. And so we talked to him about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He was saved. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. But that we just said, you need God to release the power of God in you. And his particular denomination, they had a problem with that. It wasn't something that they liked to talk about or believe in. But we went to the Bible and we said, this is what you need. You need the Holy Spirit released in your life in another dimension that you're not into yet. And so he said yes. And so we prayed with him and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke in tongues. And you know what? When he went back the next time to that refugee camp and he came back out of there, he wasn't laid up for two or three months. He needed some rest because he just was very tired, but he wasn't sick. He was back up at it. He was able to do more ministry. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit wants to empower us. And if you sometimes we feel like, who am I? I'm just this nobody kind of person, this little nobody, this little nothing in the middle of this big, horrible situation that you might be facing. Truth of the matter is, if you got the Holy Spirit within you, that's the very power and authority of God Himself. And there is no such thing as I'm just a nobody. God fills you with the Holy Spirit, and God puts you on a mission. I need to tell you something. You buckle your seatbelt. You will see some amazing and wonderful things if you allow this stuff to go from the head down into your spirit. Okay, he gives us power. He illuminates our understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:12-14, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Man can't compare spiritual with spiritual without the Holy Spirit. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I remember before I knew the Lord, I was sitting on a beach. I don't remember where it was. I don't remember what beach it was. But I was sitting on a beach, and this guy comes up, and this is before I was saved. I was, my mind, the farthest thing from God. My mind was everywhere else but God. He comes up, and he says, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure, you can talk to me." And so he kind of sat down on the blanket there, and he said, "You need to be born again." You know, that was his lead in story. And so I thought, well, this will be fun. I'll torment this religious person. You know, so I got into this little thing about how I'm being born every day, and I was talking about this. You know, I was in a totally different place. I could not even begin to understand. It wasn't until later, and I looked back, and I realized that guy actually was giving me the gospel. But at that point in time, it was making absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. There was no truth to it. It didn't make any sense at all. But when the Holy Spirit illuminated that to me later on, it was like, yes, I do need to be born again. Yes. And so if we're just trusting the natural mind, the things of the Spirit are going to seem, they're not going to seem real to us. But it says here that the Holy Spirit is going to help us know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And some of us need to know that. Some of us, by experience or training or something, have come to a place where they're resistant to what the Holy Spirit wants to do, particularly in the areas of signs, wonders, miracles, and those sorts of things. And so we need to bring our thoughts into line with what the Holy Spirit is saying. Another thing about this, I would say, before you open your Bibles in the morning, and I know you're all opening your Bibles in the morning, before you do that, why don't you just pray and say, "Holy Spirit, open your word to me. Show me what it is you want me to get out of this today." Okay, and there's also the spiritual gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians 12. There's three vocal gifts there: tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. There's three revelation gifts, which are words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And there's three power gifts, which are faith, gifts of healing, and miracles. And we'll talk about that in some detail someday in the not-too-distant future. But he gives us these gifts. We don't own these particular gifts. These are gifts that he energizes at his time to accomplish his will. We saw it here a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was last week. I'm not sure. But we saw it. The Lord was really speaking to a number of people, same kind of theme. It was all very much a prophetic flow here. And so he was just saying, okay, I think I want to speak to the church in a very little different way today. And he did that. So we need to be ready to be used by him. We'll talk about that. But there are these gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which we see in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, and so on. Those gifts are for character. The 1 Corinthians 12 gifts, they're power gifts. But the Galatians 5:22 and 23, those are the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on, long-suffering, goodness, temperance. All those things that he gives to us, they mold our character so that we are safe. When he empowers us, we're safe because we have the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit within us. I remember one time I was talking to a friend of mine who is a Christian, and we actually led him to the Lord, and he was really, unbeknownst to me, he was really struggling, but I just listened to a few things he said, and I said to him, I said, "What is your problem?" I said, you're not talking like you. And you know, he really wasn't answering me much. I said, "You know what? I can tell that you're not demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Have you turned your back on God in some way?" And he, as it was, he kind of had. And so we were able to pray together, And almost immediately you could see some of the anger, anxiety, and some of the stuff that he was demonstrating, or that changed, and it was more Christ-like in all things. So anyhow, there's the fruit of the Spirit. We'll need to talk about that as well. That's for character. Nothing I think is worse than having people who are supposedly moving in the power of the Spirit not functioning in the fruits of the Spirit as well. They are both very, very nice. Certainly Jesus did that. He demonstrated all the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, finally, how are we doing? We're pretty much done, I think. But let me just finish here real quick, because I didn't hear what she said on purpose. Okay. Okay. The Holy Spirit makes communication. Thank you, Adam. I so much appreciate that. I see that hand. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit makes forms of communication with God possible. We see in Jude 20 when we pray, it says, "Beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Well, what is that? Well, we're gonna find out in days to come that it's referring to the gift of tongues, which is a prayer language that we can use, and it taps us into God in a way that bypasses our mind. More on that in another day. In Romans 8:26, we see the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know how we should pray as we ought. That's true. Sometimes I have no idea how to pray about something. But the Spirit himself makes intercession with us, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we talked a little bit about this last week. Sometimes all we have in our heart is this groan. And somehow the Holy Spirit takes that and it becomes a prayer, a communication to God for an area of need. Worship and praise. I'm looking forward to getting more into this too in the weeks to come. Philippians 3:3, it says, we worship God in spirit. We need to have technical capabilities. We should have that. But we can have all of that and still be missing what God wants. Worship is a thing of the Spirit. As good as Devin is on that guitar, if that's all we had, it wouldn't be enough. We need the Holy Spirit to bring us into a place of worship. Jesus told the Samaritan lady, he said, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. We need truth. We need truth. We definitely do. We can't just be wackadoodles, you know, just off there doing all kinds of crazy things. But we need the Spirit. We do. And he's there for us. And this as well, and we're probably going to do a clinic on this one of these days just so we can work it into our times of worship. It says in Ephesians 5:18-20, it tells us, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. And so I look forward to one of these days in the not-too-distant future. We're just going to learn how to release the song of the Lord among us and learn how just to worship spontaneously out of our hearts to the Lord. We'll do that in a day to come, but it's certainly something that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Devin and Shay, could you kind of come up here close with that chorus, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. But I just want to say something. Actually, I shared this with the church, I don't know, a year ago maybe. I one Sunday morning, I really felt that this was a word for the church, and I shared it. And it had to do with the day of Pentecost. How it says on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came, and it says that the room was filled with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Okay, and so everybody in the room could hear that. But then it said that the fire, there were tongues of fire over each and every one of us. And so what that says to me, and feel free just to, whenever you get set up, feel free to go for it. What that says to me is that we can have the Holy Spirit moving in our church. And everybody can say, yes, that is God. And everybody can see the evidence of it, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. But unless the fire of God lights on each one of us, we will only be spectators. We will not be participators. He wants our church to be filled. He wants his presence to be honored. He wants to be here. He wants to lead us, God, it's all the things I said. But the truth of the matter is, you can be in that environment and not be participating in it. God wants each of us. And so this calls us to, I'm not sure where everybody is at this morning on what I'm sharing. I'm not sure if some of the things that you have to wrestle with them or say, man, I don't know about that. I'm not too sure. These are things that we need to settle in the days to come. Because for God to do what he wants to do, we need the room filled, but we need fire over every head. Every single one, if you want to be part of it, you need to buy in to what it is that he is doing. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, we're going to close, but if you could stand. And we're going to just sing the chorus. We're not going to do the whole song. We just want to sing the chorus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I'm asking you just to make it a personal prayer song that you're saying you're welcome in our church and you're welcome here, right here. I know you live here, but I want you to be, I want a fire in me that comes from you to equip me and to empower me to do what you want. And then we're going to close in prayer.